weeks ago. Sorry. Let's practice. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Back row, can you hear me? All right. Sit in the front row next time and I'll look prettier. Okay, so let's get back to what we were talking about. Was it a month ago? Yes. I stood about, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the frigid cold, wearing a short sleeve shirt and a pair of jeans, looking at a house. And the house didn't look like what it looked like the night before. And as I stood in that front yard, I started visiting with a family that I love very much, that is important to me because they're in this church, and they're friends and they're people that I respect immensely. And I was trying to think, how do I minister to this family? And for some reason, the prayer that we're only going to sort of talk about, we're going to approach the prayer totally differently in 2 weeks, but a prayer from Ephesians 1 instantly jumped into my mind. And so for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've been thinking about this prayer and this family and this morning. And so I want you to hear this prayer before we go any further, because here's what Paul writes. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, the part that caught me that Monday morning was, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I went home that morning thanking God for what I had saw with the Pantusos. Not for a house that was devastated, but for faith that was strong. And so I've asked Mark to come and co-preach with me for about 10 or 15 minutes. So Mark, this is not Mark's nature. Mark likes to fix things. So we're going to let him hide behind the pulpit. And I just want to ask him a couple of questions and let him talk about how God has worked through tragedy to make his life better. So Mark and I have gone over these questions, but I told him I'll ask him whatever I want because I'm in control. All right, Mark, tell me what was going on through your mind that night when you're outside.
Well, once I got my family outside and I knew the house was lost immediately, I didn't care about the house at all, and I didn't care about anything that was in the house. I cared about my family, and Donna never looked more beautiful to me than she did right then. And all I cared about what was alive, and I had my neighbors coming from all around that I didn't even know I had, bringing us stuff. And before the fire department was there, they were asking me what I wanted out of the house, and I didn't want anything. It was not strange, but you realize real quickly what's important, and it's just a house full of stuff, and I didn't care about anything in the house.
So now that you're a month away, what are you grateful for?
That could take a long time to tell you that, but the night that it happened, when I got to the motel, I was thinking, how am I going to handle this? This is my problem, and I'm not going to ask anybody for anything, because I never do. I'd rather take 4 or 5 times longer than it normally takes than to ask somebody to help me, and I don't think I'm any different than anybody else. And Michael was there the night before, and we finally had to run him off in the middle of the night because it was cold and we were tired of standing there. And he told me, "We're going to help you." And I didn't really give it a lot of thought. And the next morning, when I got to the house, I opened the garage door and all of you were standing on the driveway. And I'm grateful for that. And I had, I think, 6 houses offered to me the first day from here. Motel rooms, RVs, you name it. I didn't ask for anything. And then we've learned to be careful about saying if we need something because we get like 10 of them. So...
So are you saying if anybody needs a toaster, come talk to you?
Yeah, or blankets or anything. But all of y'all thought of everything, because it is a strange feeling to wake up one day and you don't have anything but the clothes on your back. And the church took that burden off of us. They've stood right here, people I don't even know, handed us money and you name it. And people that I can't say thank you enough. I don't even know how. But we do thank you, and I'll never forget it.
So how has this all impacted your family the last month?
It's strengthened our faith, because I've had people tell me that they've asked me how I could stay so calm through this, and it's because of God and his people and watching them work. Because it's freed me. All the stuff going on in the world, I haven't listened to the news in a month, and I'm not going to. I don't want to listen to it anymore. But I feel free from all of that, and I definitely have, I want to serve like Christ served us, as the memories of this fire fade, and I don't think about it, the fire, what I'll always remember is what the church and our community, my neighbors, all have done for us. You can't listen to the news when they're telling you how bad things are, because there's just a few bad apples. Everybody is helpful. But when you're on my end of this and y'all just help, that's just what you do without even, people I don't even know, I've never even talked to, just handed me things. I'm never going to forget that. That's what I'll always remember. The house was just a house, and we'll build another house. But the house that I once not here, it's in heaven, and that's the house I care about. Not this one. We'll build another one, but it's just going to be another house.
I've told you guys for 20 years that I love to watch you in action. We've had kids that have had cancer. We have had families that have lost jobs. We've had food crises, we've had health crises, we've had houses burned down. And this church, when they are in action, is like nothing I've ever seen before. And I love the fact that Pantuso's got to witness it, because usually they've been part of the helping, and they got to be the ones to help. And I know for a fact that when one of us is in trouble, the first one in line to help us is going to be the Pantuso's. So I want us to pray a prayer of blessing over the Pantuso's, and then we're going to sing a song about Thanksgiving that I think really matters, and we'll come up and we'll finish our thoughts. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for my friend that is here, whose faith in you is deep and abiding and has been and will continue to grow. For his wife and for Tyler and for his family and for Mark's parents that have all witnessed the goodness of God even in the midst of tragedy, and the goodness of his church even in the midst of tragedy. Strengthen us and use us and cause us always to see more than just what is right in front of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Kent.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. I want to thank You, Lord, for loving me. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal Your will for me so I can serve You eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank You, Lord, for loving me. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. Thank You,
Okay, you've got in your bulletin an outline. You might have been looking at that outline a few minutes ago. I'd like you to fold it back and stick it in your Bible because we're going to use it in a couple of weeks. I want to do something a little different. Yesterday I was watching, Nikki was working, nothing like PPP loans, and you're married to a banker and so you don't see your wife on Saturdays. So I was watching a cooking show, and it's one of my favorite cooking shows. It has, if you watch the Cooking Channel, you know there's a guy that barbecues. And he looks like the younger brother of Jeremy Miranda. So you may know about? No, one does. Okay, so Shannon and I were watching the show yesterday. Were you watching it yesterday? Okay, and he's making the sauce, and he always finishes the sauce with butter. I mean, all good chefs finish the sauce with butter. And so he puts the last of the butter on his plate in there, and then he starts singing a song from My Heyday. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Now, I'm pretty sure that that's a love song in the 80s about a girl that is no longer the girl in his life, but he was singing it to the butter, and I thought, that's kind of cool. Then I was coming to church this morning, and I think one of the most touching songs I've ever heard comes on the radio, and it's a song called This Ain't Nothing. And if you like country music, you probably know the song that I'm talking about. It's a song written by a guy by the name of Craig Morgan. And it's really one of those country songs that's kind of a story. And it's about a guy that loses his house in a tornado. And the reporter's asking him all these questions. And he says, much like what Mark said a few minutes ago, that ain't nothing. Because there are things that matter so much more. See, so often in our life, I think we zero in on those things that are right there and those things that are in front of us and those things that we think matter the most, things like our jobs and our possessions and the cars that might be in the garage and various things, vacations we're going to go on, and we center in on those things there and miss what really matters. And I know too often in my life I've missed what really matters. That I've missed the friends that have surrounded me, that I've missed the child and his peers that have run in and out of my house for 20 years now, it feels like. And I miss those sounds, and I miss those relationships, and I miss all of those things that come, and I need to be reminded to take a look and open my eyes. So if there's any one thing I want you to hear this morning, it's that I want us to open our eyes. That song that we sang before communion, Open the Eyes of Our Heart, Lord, straight out of this passage. And we're going to come back to this passage in 2 weeks because I think it is one of those prayers in the New Testament that is outstanding. But I think we've got to open our eyes to those things that really matter. Now, when we open our eyes to the things that really matter, we see them differently. A lot of times I'll be sitting at a table. And sitting at the table, I'll have my notebook and I'm saying these kind of questions. How many people for dinner? What color do you want for a bookmark? What songs do you want sung? Who do you want to be the song leader? Would you like one of our elders to lead the prayers? Would you like to sit at the front or do you want to hide in the back? And usually it's at those moments when I'm asking those questions that whoever is in front of me starts to realize, unfortunately, I've seen it every now and then once for the first time, that what they had was gone. And it's hard. But yet, maybe God does things in our lives, and maybe God moves through things where He reminds us about what we have and what really matters. I know a family whose marriage was in chaos, and they finally realized it. And in the midst of them realizing their marriage was in chaos, they figuratively, literally, and all kinds of other ways got down on their knees and called upon people to help them save it. And now years later, they cherish what they have. I've watched men and women who are families who have a sick child, and that child is sick, and maybe the child is a baby that is born too early, or maybe that child is a child that gets stricken with cancer, and they go through tragedy, and they go through triumph, and they go through two steps forward and three steps back, but what they finally realize is God has blessed them more than they could ever imagine. I've watched parents when their child has got a slight learning disability, whatever that disability might be, maybe it's dyslexia, maybe it's some other form that is causing some crazy kind of going on in their lives, and they're on this journey of trying to figure out how best to get their kid to be able to speak right or read right or talk right or whatever it is, and they go through all of those steps, and yet finally they realize that child they hold every night is the greatest blessing they'll ever get from God. And I've watched some of you in hospital beds, and hospital beds set up in your living room, hold the hand of someone you loved more than life itself, and you've had to say goodbye. And yet you've come out of that saying, look at our God. When I stood there in front of that house that morning with Mark, Mark kept saying over and over, everything in there doesn't matter. What matters is my wife and my son and daughter-in-law that weren't here in the first place, and my parents who made it out, even though they're old and had trouble getting out. What mattered the most is right here, what is next to me. The beauty in Mark's situation is it didn't take a fire to convince him of that. But what would it take to convince you of that? What would it take to convince you that what matters the most is what can't be taken away? Luke 15 tells three stories. It tells the story of a woman who loses a coin. It tells the story of a shepherd who loses a sheep. And it tells the story of a father who loses a son. And in all three instances of that, what really matters is the sheep, the coin, and the son. But what happens is when they find those things and they realize they are back in the right spot, there is celebration that comes. And I think the same needs to be true for us. When we find that which we've taken for granted, when we find that which we have lost and comes back home, when we find those things that God said, here is what really matters, and for whatever reason, for a while, we didn't see them the same way God did, and finally we do, everything ought to change. What I love the most about the Pantusos story is one of the first guys on the scene is that fireman right back there behind Mike Joy, who loves the Pantusos. And not much long after that, then here comes the Pantusos' favorite preacher, and their favorite preacher isn't me, and here comes Michael, and Michael is ready there, and you've got other people and neighbors, and before you know it, they've been enveloped by a church that they've known much of your married life, right? And now they know what they've got. See, so often, we're not thankful enough. That morning, I had to go home and change clothes. Just walking through your house, I smelled like your car, and your car smells like a fire pit. No offense to your car, but you need a new one. Mark's on duty in the back protecting us. Mark, buy your wife a new car. Walk through my garage, and at our house, you walk through the garage, and you make your way around the corner to our bedroom. And so I make my way around to the corner, and the first thing I see is the picture of our kid, and then I see my favorite chair. And I think, man, I love this stuff. And then it hit me. None of that stuff matters. Because the picture of my kid pales in comparison to the real kid who stands next to me every now and then. And that chair that I like to read my Bible in, I can buy a chair like that at any old spot, and I can sit with any old Bible in that chair and be reminded of God. And what matters the most is all that God does in the midst of the things that I miss and take for granted and forget about. It's too bad that we celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. We probably, as God's people, ought to celebrate Thanksgiving all the time. We do. Actually, whether you know it or not, there's a word that Jesus and Paul use. It's the word in Greek is Eucharist. Now, we don't like that term because other religious groups have made a bigger deal of the Eucharist than we have. But Eucharist means thanks, and it's gathered around a table. What we just did as the body of Christ, where we sang, "Open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart, Lord," and then we partook of bread and we partook of cup, was a reminder of what God has done to save us and was a time of intense thanksgiving. And I hope it goes further than just that. So here's your homework. I want you to walk through your house and tell God what you're thankful for. I hope it's not sofas and TVs and fountain pens. I want you to walk around this community as you go to work and as you drive up and down Main Street, or if you're smart, as you drive up and down streets that go much faster than Main Streets, and tell God why you're thankful. And as you hold that baby in your arms that just cries a little too much at night, I want you to be thankful. And when you sit down around a table and you share a meal with those who matter the most to you, I want you to be thankful. And when you think about the fella down the street who's lost everything, I want you to be thankful. From everything I've ever seen, joy comes to those who are thankful. You've heard me wrestle with a passage over the last 20 couple of years. A passage that speaks of anxiety, but what's interesting is the passage I want us to finish with this morning finishes with thanksgiving. And I think it's where real joy comes from. Because we can only experience real joy when we've experienced what God has done to us through our lives, through the tragedy, through the hardship, through the misfortune, through fires and through sickness and through cancer and even through death sometimes, to find where true joy is. So just listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, Christ Jesus. That last line says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, Christ Jesus. Okay, let me talk about the Pantusos for just one more second. They don't want me talking about them, but I'm going to do it anyway. Their faith in the midst of this has amazed me. Whether it was standing out that morning, or whether it was a conversation you and I had about a crock pot a couple of days ago. I've never seen a family go through what they've gone through and be at peace. I think the only way you can be at peace is when you realize what matters and you rejoice in it. Jonah and I were talking over the Christmas break. I was asking if he needed anything. Dad trying to make sure his college kid is taken care of. You need what kind of snacks you need? Do you want some drinks? Do your computer working all right? Do you need him? I want him to get a cool monitor like his dad has. And do you need this? No, Dad, I've got all I need. My 19-year-old kid gets it better than I do. My guess is some of your kids and some of your parents maybe get it better than you do. Because what really matters, fire's not going to take. Came in that same Christmas holiday, I'd gone to Starbucks to get the family coffee, and I had let off the brake in my brand new car, and I had rolled into some lady's old beat up Suburban, and I didn't do anything to her Suburban, and I scratched the front of my car, and I came home and I was ticked off. You know what I need to do to that car? I need to write on it in big white letters, "Someday this thing's going to blow up." Because it doesn't matter. What matters is when you stand outside your house watching flames come through three parts of your roof, and you look at your wife and you look at your parents and you say, "I got all I need. Got all I need." So we're going to sing a little bit more. I'm going to be at the back. Michael's up at the front running sound. Elders are all through the room. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to give your life to God. Maybe you just need to help someone point out the things in your life that really matter more than anything else. I hope you'll find us as we stand and sing.